Peace be with all of you. From the beginning of the book of Acts, I've been emphasizing that the beginning is very important. Because if you get it wrong at the beginning, it will be harder for you to understand the rest of the book. So our Lord Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to the disciples that they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a result of receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, they must be the Lord's witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so in this verse, English translation is the most accurate. You will be my witnesses. Why is it will be? Because there is this initiator within you. God is the initiator. So God's initiating power, when it comes upon you, then you will be the passive receiver of the active power of God. So take for example, a very good car can go very fast. But that is not dependent on his external appearance, external shell, but it depends on his internal engine. So when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon humans, comes upon the apostles, their hearts are being moved and provoked so that they have this earnest heart to preach the word of God. So they will preach wherever they go. So we see that the entire book of Acts, in the eyes of men, the apostles, they were very great, preaching the gospel boldly everywhere. And when Stephen was being stoned by people, before that he rose to speak. And Paul, in prison, he also can call the shots and he can perform wonders and signs. But yet, all of us, we must not treat the apostles as so noble or great, because they can do all these things. They are willing to do all these things because of the Holy Spirit within them, convicting them and filling them to do the work of God. And I've been trying to emphasize that every time when we talk about the Holy Spirit's work, do not just talk about the amazing deeds of the apostles and we keep trying to find people to lay hands on them. You must know the work of the Holy Spirit on the apostles. The emphasis, the core focus is to preach the gospel. And in the midst of this, sometimes the apostles are made to preach boldly, and sometimes they were called to flee to another city. And so sometimes when Paul, he reached a certain place, he prayed at the river, and then he looked to God and he met people who wanted to hear the gospel. And then in prison, Paul didn't just ask for his release, but when he looked to God, when Peter was in prison, he didn't ask God to release him, but he just looked to God, and then God just sent his angel to save him. So we need to submit to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and when we seek the guidance and will of the Holy Spirit and obey His will, all kinds of power will follow us. So we have this passive faith, but you have to remember, we are not the active party, we are the passive one. So God is the initiator and He has His active power to make us the passive recipients and doers of what He wants us to do. So in the book of Acts, I spent a long time at the beginning, especially in chapter 1, verse 1 to 11, because this portion is the foundation of the whole book of Acts. So if you're not clear about this, if you do not know what's meant by the power of the Holy Spirit, then as you continue reading the book of Acts, then you only will look at and observe phenomenal things. And then as a result, our faith today is not preaching the gospel, but we are just pursuing phenomenal signs, and we do not understand the great power of the Holy Spirit upon those who believe. So Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, I will use 2 points to look at this. What Jesus wants to talk about is just merely 2 things. And He gave the disciples 2 instructions. One, you must carry out the mission I have given you on earth, and that is the Great Commission. And second, as you are carrying out your earthly mission, you must use the power from above, from heaven. So earthly mission, power from heaven, and these two must come together. So you asked, our earthly mission, Lord, is your kingdom coming? And the disciples asked the Lord this question. And the Lord replies them, where is my kingdom? You must know that the heavenly will come upon the earth. So the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And after you receive power, you must preach the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And this is not an illusion. It's a reality. You have to really preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And this must happen on earth every day. Sometimes we thought it just happened that one day has passed, one week has passed, but today you have to ask, why the world still exists today? Why the earth is still revolving? Why the days of mankind is still moving forward? Because of God's salvation plan for mankind. The gospel will be preached from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, and this will continue very intensely through the power and guidance and the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason why today heaven and earth still remain. So when we live on earth, we must understand. If the Lord has given the apostles the greatest commission, that is His ultimate goal, and that's the very reason why He preserved the earth. And now I am living in this 21st century. I'm a human being created by God. And as I live on earth in the same way, you and I, we are the same. Same thing for Jesus Christ. We have family. We have work. We have the power to earn money. We have entertainment. And all these are the grace given us by God. But you must surely remember that all these are the tools. All these are merely the channels in order for you to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. They are the tools and channels by which you can preach the gospel. So when we talk about the tools and the channels, if you turn them into the emphasis and the main point, and you think that, oh, this is something I must do every day, and this is the most important thing and everything in my life, if that's your idea, then you will not understand the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You won't hear the power, you won't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, neither will you be able to use the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, in this pandemic, some people just can see the pandemic, but some people can see Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that this gospel will be preached to the ends of the earth. And this is happening very intensely. So with different perspective, and then the voice and of the Holy Spirit that you hear and the power of the Holy Spirit that you use will also be different. So are we the same as the people of the world? People of the world, they have fun, we also have fun. They eat, we also eat. They take care of children, we also take care of children. But yet, we have a different core purpose. And the tighter you hold on to this central point, the more you are able to see the Lord and the Holy Spirit who is present with us. And He and us, we will co-work together. I've always used this analogy. Now today, if I'm being sent by Singapore as an ambassador to China, and so as an ambassador, what is my core duty and responsibility? Now I go over to this place, I represent Singapore to speak, to bless Singaporeans, and introduce Singapore to China. You know, you can, you're welcome to come to Singapore to study and to tour. And then Singapore government told me, don't worry, I prepare for you the money, the salary, the house and the car. You just go to China as an ambassador. You know, China is a very fun place. So you need to eat the hot pot in China. There's a lot of tourist spots. So it sounds very nice and it's very exciting. But you must remember, what is your core mission? And you have to keep being connected with the Singapore headquarters. But now if you go over there and you suddenly see, wow, this country is so big. This country is so beautiful. This country, the hot pot is so nice. And every day you drink tea with the Chinese government. And then you feel it's so nice. And you do everything except for the duty of the Singapore ambassador. You didn't take care of the Singaporeans in that country. You didn't introduce Singapore to that country. So you do everything else well, but you are the most unfaithful ambassador because you have neglected your core duties. And such an ambassador is very afraid to receive the call from Singapore government. Now today, many believers, when you tell them that the Lord is coming today, tomorrow, they'll be so afraid. Now, if you know the greatest commission and yet you fail in your duty and God's focus is not your focus, then you can forget about hearing the voice or using the power of the Holy Spirit. Even if you can, that is the fake one. So Jesus, over a period of 40 days, he kept telling his disciples the whole core purpose of mankind, the reason for mankind to exist. If you forget that mission, it means that you have forgotten about God. If you didn't live with the mission, that means that you're disconnected with the heavenly kingdom. You're not communicating with the Lord in heaven. No matter how much you pray very hard, you ask the dead to raise to life, no matter how you pray for cancer to be healed, no matter how much you do all these things, no matter how zealous you are in the church, if your focus is not on the greatest commission, then dear brothers and sisters, you can forget about having the holy power of the Holy Spirit. On the contrary, you will receive the rebuke of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will keep asking you, for what reason are you living for? What are you busy with on earth? What is your core mission? So you are not using the power of the Holy Spirit. Instead, you will hear the rebuke of the Holy Spirit. And that is the main point. You have to carry out the earthly mission. And second, as you carry out the earthly mission, you must remember that it is not what you can do, because there's the forces of darkness and there's those in holding authority and those opposing you. And so you must use the power from above, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. He protects you, strengthens you, convicts you to witness for the Lord. And the active power of the Holy Spirit is very important. Lord, in the book of John, he promised the Holy Spirit. He said that the Holy Spirit will come to testify, and you too will testify. The Holy Spirit is the active party. When he testifies, no one can oppose. And so you who follow him, automatically your heart will also be stirred to rise up and testify for the Lord. So if you do not know how to rely on the Holy Spirit, or if you recognize the power of the Holy Spirit wrongly, then you cannot fulfill the mission of God. So every day you zealously want to ask people, want to evangelize to people. You take the gospel tracts on the streets or to the MRT, you distribute it. People don't even want to look at you, because that's not what God wants you to do. And you try very hard to do it by human determination and zeal. It, on the contrary, creates a lot of trouble and a lot of frustrations that people have toward Christianity, and people misunderstand Christianity. And so, because that's what we do by ourselves, in what we do, what we say, in our daily living, actually, Holy Spirit can fill us to speak the words of grace and deal with work matters with wisdom and conflicts, and deal with conflicts and all these things. When you do it by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will see. And even couples, as a husband and wife, you stay together, you live together, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. The wife needs to submit to the husband and make him happy and proud of you, and the husband need to love the wife. And when you do that, amazingly, the spouse will be touched by you and attracted to your faith. And so what is the power of the Holy Spirit? Does it just come by the laying of hands? No. The Holy Spirit's power is daily power. Those people closest to you, you look at them, you will see, and you'll be able to access whether you have power of the Holy Spirit. Because those people who are with you every day, they easily irritate you, but you can think of how to influence them. And when they are influenced by you, even their weaknesses become strength. But some people, you realize that when you spend a few days with this person, even their negative thoughts becomes positive. So this is the power of the Holy Spirit. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, you try very hard on your own to fulfill the Great Commission, but you find yourself regressing. So you must rely on the power from heaven. On the other hand, if your life lacks God's call mission and you do not live to preach the gospel and expand the kingdom, then that means you do not know the power of the Holy Spirit. Then instead, it seems as if you manifest a certain kind of power. Now, some people, they are very good at doing certain things, but they are not focused on evangelism, but they love to find people for them to pray over and lay hands on. And people being prayed by them, they got healed. And they have this conviction to speak a few words of prophecies. They saw some vision. They like to do all these kind of things. And indeed, they saw certain things. And they are very moved in their hearts to speak certain things. But their core focus, their core purpose of their living on earth is not for the sake of the gospel. Such people, they indeed may have manifested certain form of power, but you must never treat that power as a power of the Holy Spirit. That power comes from his selfish desire. And if it's not careful, because this person cannot distinguish powers, he may unknowingly welcome the power from the dark kingdom, and he welcomes that kind of power upon him. So he can heal certain people's sicknesses. He speaks certain words, although he is not accurate every time, but sometimes he will predict correctly. So people treat him as a prophet, but this kind of power, from the perspective of humans, it feels like some power, but because it doesn't come from the Holy Spirit, eventually it will bring about divisions in the church. It will bring about losses to the people of God. Whether you want to believe is up to you. I've been around the different churches of the church from the east to the west, and I've seen all these things. I've seen people who seek power but not seek the Lord, neither seek the mission, the Great Commission of the Lord, but they only seek power. That's how they are like. And so the devil will surely seize them. Now, a lot of churches, they have done dangerous things. They invited strange people for their conferences. They ask everyone to shut their eyes. They put some music, play some music, turn off the lights. Then they urge people to see vision, and people see vision. You saw what people will encounter, or you can profess certain prophecies. Now, these are dangerous things. These are the sorcery in Christianity. I can even say that these are sorcery. The Bible didn't promise this kind of power, didn't promise this kind of vision. Instead, after our Lord's ascension, actually all these things should be hidden. Why is it that every week I came and I preach against the new apostolic movement, and I criticize the hyper grace gospel and prosperity gospel? All these are very dangerous, but yet it penetrated into the English churches, and now the Chinese churches are imitating this. Because this form of power is very attractive, make people curious and meet people's needs. And when people come to church, they will give offering and the numbers will increase. Now my aunt, she's in a Methodist church, and one day there's a group of people in the church, and Methodist is actually a traditional church. But then one day there's a group of people who appeared in the church, and they are pursuing gifts like speaking in tongues and seeing vision. And one day they brought this new drive and new energy to the church, because the church has been preaching on stage and there's nothing new. And suddenly one person came, and then they say there's these new things. So, but every time during prayer, they're not praying. They're just proclaiming certain things. And what did they proclaim? They proclaim that your business will be well. I proclaim that the illness in your body will depart from you. So they always profess and proclaim all these things. And so all these things, they sound like they are very powerful because they represent God to speak, and they are like very powerful, and they speak very positive things, and people love it. For example, if you're a businessman and people tell you you have profits 3 to 4 times, you will surely amen, hallelujah, and receive it gladly. But have you ever asked that when you profess it like this, is this the will of God? Now, some people, you see that they really succeeded in their business. They don't come to church anymore. And they also work on Sunday. Yes, you say that prophecy is fulfilled, but yet it brings loss to his life. Now, sometimes a person need to go through a process to be refined. And in this process, they may have illness and their whole family repents. Now, if you declare that his illness depart from him, and then after he got healed, he didn't come to the church. He may go to the karaoke, and or he may go to into the world. So the work of the devil is very subtle. As long as he can bring people away from God, the devil can give you all kinds of power, all kinds of methods. But the Bible clearly tells us the core focus and heart of God, that this gospel must be preached to the ends of the earth to make people repent. Not just make people high, but the people must repent and turn to the Lord. And after that, they must follow the Lord for their whole life, centering on the Lord and on the church and on evangelism. This is the core purpose of God, and this is what the power of the Holy Spirit is meant to bring out. And so certain people, they are dangerous because they have used spiritual terms, moving words, and what they say is very good in deceiving people, and it's as if they're presenting God's power. But I tell you, this proclamation, I declare, no one in the New Testament is doing this. Now, in the Old Testament, like Prophet Jeremiah and all this, they did declare because they are representing God to speak. So they must speak according to God's intention. But in the New Testament, this declare is all within God's word. Now, if it's outside God's word, no matter how much you declare, it is pointless, useless. So we must understand the danger. Now, my cousin, he loves all these things. I don't know whether he hears my message. So one day, he prayed for his uncle. So one day he prays, my cousin prayed, God, he prayed for me, God, may his church number grow, and that he has miracles, so he has the power to perform miracles. But whatever my cousin prayed for me, none of it is what I wanted. So I told my cousin, just very simple, pray for me that I can faithfully preach the pure gospel of the Lord. I don't need all these gimmicks. The Lord never asked me to lead a church with huge numbers. God never asked me to do wonders and miracles. But God tells me, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, be his witnesses, be the witnesses of Christ to the ends of the earth. That's the only thing. Let me not be shaken in this. So whatever my cousin prayed is not aligned with my heart, because me and him, we have different understanding of the power of the Holy Spirit, because we understand God's core message differently. Although he's a Christian, I'm also a Christian. So what I want to say is, it's very easy for the church to go a deviated way in this 2,000 years, if not for God's protection and guarding. I'm not saying that my cousin is a heresy. I'm not saying that the charismatic movement is heretic, but there is certain deviation. It's very skilled. So when you are skilled, as generations move on from one to another generation, up to one day, heresy will appear. So from among you, from the church, eventually there will be the Antichrist. So why the church must keep reforming to preserve the pure word of God? Because without this, believers will continue to pursue another kind of power, and you realize that eventually it will bring destruction to the church. So, when I went to mission work in China, then I realized there are people in the church who accept such things. There are a group of people who are very zealous, and they show a lot of concern to people. And every time they see people, they will pray for them. Now, which pastor do not like this kind of believers? You see, the common believers, they are very lifeless. But another group of believers, they are very zealous. You know, the moment I have any trouble, they all surround me and pray with me. So that's also a kind of power, but it's another form of power. So sometimes I told my brother and sister, then they say, "Are you pastor? Whatever traditional church, whether it's Methodist, Anglican, or whatever traditional church, all this movement have already penetrated, infiltrated the church in the traditional churches, and so they also attended the big conferences on healing, deliverance, and apostolic movement. And then when they try to imitate, they also sense the power, so they try to copy. So all these things have already infiltrated the church, the traditional church. So when I hear this, I'm very worried in my heart, because I worried for the church of God. So I must teach about this. So in 9 a.m. service, now every one of you comes to learn the Bible, but I'm not just preaching a lesson. I'm going to present to you the real situation in the church circle. Now, some of you may have all these experiences in the past, and you know what I'm talking about. So now I'm reforming you and making you come back to the Bible, but not in a rigid way. But God's Word is lively, is real, and active. So when you hear the Word of God and you believe it, the work of the Holy Spirit will stir you within you to make you recognize clearly. So please put all these words in your heart to pray for the church, not just for our own church, but for every church. Now the Bible clearly tells us you need to be vigilant in what you need to be vigilant. You need to discern what you need to discern and pursue what you need to pursue. So now we are looking at Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. It talks about the ascension of Jesus Christ. So what is the purpose of Jesus' ascension? Is it important to us? Of course it is. And where has He ascended to? He has ascended to the right hand of God's throne. He enjoyed the greatest authority. And once you have this kind of authority, you won't pursue phenomenal things on earth. But this authority only Jesus has, not I have. But how do I? When we submit to Jesus, then the power from heaven will be manifested. And so we know that the disciples had lived very long time with the Lord. And then when they see with their eyes the ascension of Jesus, and they cannot bear to let Jesus go, and then angel appeared and asked and told them, you know, men of Galilee, why are you standing looking at the sky? So we have covered Acts chapter 1 verse 8 last week, and now verse 9. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So that is an emphasis. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. So the two must be angels. And then they said, "Men of Galilee, Galilee." Galileans are indeed blessed, because when Jesus came, most of his ministry was done among the Galileans. And so the Galileans, they heard him preach about the gospel of heaven. But on the contrary, those in Jerusalem, those scribes and Pharisees, they cannot accept the gospel. So the people on earth, they despise men of Galilee. But then the angel told them, Now, Man of Galilee, you are the main character of the era now. Now, Man of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So now let's look at Luke. Luke also mentioned briefly. So Luke 24 verse 50, when Jesus had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany. Now Lord Jesus ascended on the Mount of Olives, but Bethany is on the east side of the Mount of Olives. It's a small town within there. And so he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. So in the four Gospels, only the book of Luke talk about the ascension of Jesus. He directly talk about it. Of course, in the Bible, in various places, it talk about the ascension of Jesus in different expression. But the book of Luke mentioned literally the ascension of Jesus Christ. Now, pre-scientific times, when we talk about where is heaven, the normal person will think that it is in heaven. Even up to today, we still think that heaven is above us. But now people say that the heavenly kingdom is invisible. But in that generation, everyone's idea of heaven is above, and so it's covered by the clouds. So we don't have to argue about this, because some scholars, they try to analyze what is meant by ascension. Now, our Lord Jesus doesn't want us to study all these details. Because when the Bible talk about ascension, the Bible didn't go into a lot of details, like, you know, there's a sudden great gush of wind. The Bible didn't talk about all these things. It just talk about ascension. Jesus ascended to heaven. So we know that this event is surely supernatural, and this is beyond the gravity of the earth. So he suddenly like rose up. Now, there's nowhere on earth without gravity. So when this thing happened, the ascension of the Lord, we know that this is unique and supernatural. And so if this is unique, then science cannot prove. So in the universe, God says, let there be light, and there was light. So science cannot verify creation, because science needs repetition, then they can prove it. So our Lord Jesus was born by a virgin. Science cannot prove it. So when a person dies and resurrects again and never dies again, this only happened once on Jesus Christ and Jesus' ascension. So all these are unique, and so science cannot prove it. And so this is supernatural. It's not what mortal beings can do. Only the Creator of heaven and earth can do, because He is beyond the natural laws. And next, I also want to ask you, is there a difference between Jesus' resurrection and His ascension? Yes, of course. After Jesus resurrected, Jesus is still able to be touched, and He is with the disciples in that form, that visible form. And so in the 40 days period, so in the intermediate period of the 40 days post-resurrection, the disciples can still touch Jesus. But this 40 days has a purpose, because it's meant to talk about the faith contents of the apostles. And eventually, Jesus have to go back to His original place, and He will be at the right hand of Father God's throne. So every time when we talk about Jesus ascending to the throne in heaven, but what is the throne? So God's throne. Everything comes from there. All authority stems from the throne of God. That throne is the representation of kingship. So in the book of Philippians, when Paul talked about ascension, he said that God assorted Jesus to the highest place, the place that you never imagine, the height that you cannot imagine. So God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name highest and above all name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So after Jesus completed the salvation plan, he rose to heaven. That's where he originally belongs. So he captured the enemies and he rose. So in Matthew, Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, so go and make disciples of all nations." So the authority of the heavenly throne has been given me. So when you go, no power can oppose you, because when you go in my will, the power of the throne will open all doors for you and overcome all kinds of hurdles for you. So Jesus must ascend to heaven. So when he ascend up, then Holy Spirit will come down. Now the disciples can see Jesus in flesh, but now when he ascended to heaven, the disciples can see the work of the Holy Spirit, and the work of Holy Spirit just happened explosively. So now we talk about kingship. That's the second emphasis. He goes back to where he belongs, and he restores the kingship. So now when the Lord ascended to heaven before the eyes of the disciples, is to give the disciples this conclusion, to let the disciples know the end. So before that, the disciples live with a visible Lord. In the intermediate 40-day period, Jesus sometimes appeared, sometimes disappeared. But right now, when Jesus ascended before their eyes and disappeared, that is to help the disciples understand that this Lord, he will no longer appear in the physical world. Because the disciples, they really miss the Lord. So, you know, sometimes maybe they feel very distressed as they serve the Lord. They hope to see the physical Lord again. But the Lord is telling them, don't even imagine that. It will not happen. So if someone tells you, "I see Jesus that day," don't believe them. You must believe that they have problem with their eyes. Other than that, don't believe what they say. Ask them to go back to read the Bible and help them believe God clearly. And then when they have faith, they can see God clearly. So that's the reason why Jesus ascended before the disciples' eyes. So that he tells them that he will no longer appear before them in the physical form. But now by faith, because they believed in the word of God, they must see the Lord who is with them in their heart, and they must be guided by the Holy Spirit. So fourth, a very important meaning of this ascension is, now if we want to experience God and see God's presence, we are using another way. In the past, Jesus eat and served together with the disciples, and 40 days he appeared to them. But after his ascension, Jesus could no longer be seen with the naked eyes. So by the Holy Spirit, God is convicting the disciples. So right now, the power that they can experience is different from the way the power is manifested now versus when Jesus was with them physically is different. So in the past, you see then they have power. So like the disciples trying to cast out demons and cannot cast out. But Jesus came down from the mountain of transfiguration, and when they see the Lord, they call out to the Lord and then they cast out the demons. So they can see Jesus performing outright signs and wonders. So indeed, all those are power. But I tell you, all this power, no matter how much you do on earth, this visible power is not greater than the invisible power. Now, what is invisible power? Invisible power is a person hears the gospel and the Holy Spirit works in him to lead him to salvation. And then he believes in the word of God. And from then on, his heart and mind is being renewed and transformed. Now, all these things are invisible. But because of his invisible life, has started a relationship with the word of God. So from now on, the way he lives, the direction of his life will all be different. And that kind of power, that kind of power that turns a person from the world to heavenly kingdom, from Satan to God, that power is greater than the kind of power that you see in the physical world that has miracles or that comes in the form of speaking in tongues. That invisible power far exceeds and far surpasses the visible power. Because, and yet, humans, they like to pursue visible power. Yet, you must understand that when a person hears the gospel, believes the gospel, from then on his heart and his life is transformed. That is the invisible power. So now when I preach, I also talk about power. But what I want to stress is the invisible power. So when the word of God is being released, God do great work in human life. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Because only this kind of power can be preached across generations, from generation to generation. Without this power, you can perform a miracle that make the dead came to life. Maybe for 2 or 3 years, these people will be impacted. But you continue to preach this kind of miracles, people at the fourth generation, they will think that this is a lie. But if a person, their life is transformed, it can pass on for one generation, 2 generations. So like Hudson Taylor, up to his 6th generation, his family is still missionary to China. So what I'm trying to say is, you must understand what is true power. And only true power can be passed on across generations. No matter how much you can perform miracles, you may ask your next generation to come to church and they are not interested to come. So if you pursue the wrong power, you need to know that you have to come back to the Word of God. Because every time you hear the Word of God, your perspective will change. Even people who have wounded you deeply, you may suddenly let go because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So that you believe and you are liberated. So this is the true power is what we should pursue in our life. So I do not like people who like to provoke people or stimulate people. Of course, testimony is important in the church, but you cannot keep asking people to give testimony in the church of their success story, of how to earn big bucks in the world. Because after a while, it ends up like marketing like that. So what I'm trying to say now is some things you cannot see, but over time, you will know. Recently, our church has this annual general meeting. Our church has been set up for 19 years. At the beginning, it was like about 20 over people. In the first 7 to 8 years, from 28 persons, we had 35 persons. So 7 years, we have a growth of 7 people. 1 year, we add 1 person. So we praise the Lord for this. So when I look at the first picture, it's 28 persons. 7 years later, it's only 35 persons. But then, this year, God kept adding numbers to us. We didn't go around pulling people. So I really understand that God has built a foundation. God even do the sifting. Those who need to leave, they left us. And so God continued to strengthen the remaining ones. Why do you set up this church? Now, if you are looking for church numbers, you will go to the mega churches. If you want to do some grand ministries, there's a lot of such things in the church circle. But if you want to find pure word and be faithful to the gospel of God, then you stick here. You will not be shaken when people left or even co-worker left. You will not compromise your faith because of them. So sometimes, you know, this 20 over, sometimes it becomes lesser, become more. So eventually, the number is 35 after 7 years. Eventually, those who are left behind, they won't leave no matter what, for the sake of the gospel. And so, that's why we come to today. So, mega churches with a lot of numbers, you don't be too happy, because when something happens, a lot of people will leave. So, the church circle is like fish changing a different fish tank. So, people have no core focus. They do not even understand why they are here in a certain church. So, they say, I do not like the pastor's message today. I do not like the style of the church. And you just leave. But after so many years, you do not understand the purpose of why you remain in the church. Now, without that, it's very easy to change church. So those who want to build churches, every time when I go overseas to go do missions, now people invite me to have conferences. I look at their eyes. I know they want me to bring a revival to the church. Indeed, I came to revive the church, but the idea of revival of theirs always is tied to numbers. They want people who are wealthy and with qualities to come to the church. So the pastors always think about this. So I kept telling them, it's not like this. We just preach the gospel. So he thought, he really knew, you know, I know the gospel, but now I want revival. Now, he didn't understand that the reason why the church is not revived is because they have not preached the gospel correctly. So we must understand the important call. So power and the gospel. Every time I start on this topic, I cannot restrain myself. And so eventually, the Lord Jesus ascended before the 11 disciples, because they are the first-hand witnesses. They themselves saw with their eyes the departure of the Lord. So after that, they have unique authority, which is different from everyone else of us. So when they speak, it's like God speaking. When they preach the gospel, even if they didn't ask for it, God Himself performed miracles. So Peter and Paul, so one day a handkerchief, you know, of Paul dropped, and people just pick up, and then the handkerchief also bring about healing power. That's God worked through it. Paul didn't even know his handkerchief has power, but God just make it happen. So when we try to imitate this kind of things, that's not what God wants us to do. These are very childish, in fact. So people in the church are like childish, and people in the church who does all these miracle things is like childish, and those who believe in those miracles are also childish. Now, in this generation, are there the sick who got healed? Yes. But I've already mentioned. But the intensity, the magnitude of the prevalence of the miracles is not like the apostles' time. Now, when I pray, and when we pray, and during pandemic, the church still can be open. This is God's work. Some believers, they are sick. They may be well, but it's not immediately. But over a few weeks or a few years, they still survive and they got healed gradually. This itself is also a miracle. But it's not so obvious or supernatural. Because God wants our focus to be on this Bible. Believe in His Word, because this is miracle, because this word is written by God. This is the words of God that will never pass away. So now let's look at the book of Acts again. And after Jesus ascended, verse 11, because the disciples kept looking at the sky, so verse 11, Jesus said, the angels told them, why are you staring into the sky? This same Jesus who have been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen Him go into heaven. So this tells us that our Lord Jesus will come back again. Jesus also told the disciples, I've gone to prepare place for you, and if I've done so, I will surely come back to fetch you. And Lord also say, you will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So Jesus will surely come back again. But will He come back on the Mount of Olives? So we always look for phenomenon. So the book of Luke already mentioned about the coming of Jesus. Man will tell you, there He is, here He is. Do not go running off after them. Because for the Son of Man in His day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. So, on the day of His coming, those in America will see it, those in Singapore will also see it. Because by then, the spiritual world will be opened up and everyone will be able to see this Lord and His holy glory. So, sinners who are not forgiven, they will fall into great terror because He will come with judgment also. But those of us whose sins are forgiven, we will enter into the eventual wedding banquet. Now, today, if you do not really like Jesus to come again, that means something is wrong with your faith, or that could mean that you're not faithful to the will of God. So, because Jesus will come again, therefore, you must continue to witness for Christ. The angel said, why do you keep looking at the sky? Actually, your focus shouldn't be in heaven, but on earth. Because the Lord wants us to be witnesses. So on earth, there is a lot of people of God. And by your testimony, they must be won over. Now, why are the disciples looking into the sky? Because they miss Jesus. Now, many people, especially in this generation, they keep missing about things on earth, about things in heaven. And they keep wondering, how is heaven like? And they like to look at Revelation. A lot of people, they like to preach the book of Revelation. They didn't bother about the first 65 books. They just look at the book of Revelation. So they look about the signs of the Lord's second coming. Of course, we must know all these things. But if you over-study all these things about the times of Jesus coming, if you keep emphasizing that, you must know that when you are currently fulfilling God's mission, you will see the presence of God. So if you want to see the presence of God, what must you do? Your life goal must turn to one mission. Whether you are father, mother, employee, whatever, you only have one mission to fulfill. And so in the midst of fulfilling this one mission, you will keep seeing the coming of the Lord. So Paul, many a times when he preached the gospel, he faced huge persecution. But the Lord appeared to him. So back then, there are still such instances because the Bible is not finished. The revelation of God is not finished yet. So God told him, "No, Paul, do not be afraid. There's many of my people in this city." So when there's a huge storm, everyone on the ship, they have given up hope of survival. But at night, the Lord appeared to Paul. Everyone will survive in this storm because you will stand before Caesar. So apostles, when they preach the gospel with a single heart, they can see the coming of the Lord. So what I want to say is, those who truly hope for the second coming of the Lord, they will not be those who keep trying to understand when is Jesus coming. Those who truly yearn for the Lord to come again, they will not every day say that, pandemic or earthquake comes means the Lord is coming. So some people, they every time they see the natural disaster, they just keep saying that, the Lord is coming. But those who truly yearn for the Lord's coming, they will accelerate their pace in evangelism. So when the pandemic comes, how should we accelerate in following the Lord? At this moment, how can you close the church? Because if you do not come to church, then your family members won't come. It's harder for you to invite them. And so in these 2 or 3 years, you look at them. Those who are elderly, they just pass away. In this 1 or 2 years, many people pass away. And suddenly you attend a funeral or two funerals. So there's no time for you to evangelize, and then people just leave the world. So how can you close the church? Because once the church is shut, then the gospel or evangelism work cannot progress. So in every decision of our church is related to the Great Commission. So those who truly yearn for the Lord to return, they will accelerate in their evangelism. So Jesus will come again, and so you continue to witness for Christ wherever you go with accelerated pace. As you see the days getting dangerous, you must all the more move forward, and there's this sense of urgency in your heart, and that sense of urgency tells you that the Lord is co-working with you to fulfill the earthly mission, and God will come soon. So eventually, finally, I will share with you from the book of Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. There's two errors of the disciples which we must beware of. Perhaps the disciples back then also have very messy emotions because they do not clearly understand Jesus' revelation. So when we look back to their responses and their reaction, we know there's two kinds of errors that we must be careful in our faith. The first, when the Lord Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven, the disciples asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" So they are still concerned about earthly kingdom, political kingdom. So a lot of matters of the earth. Now some people, when they run the church, they want to preach the gospel, but gradually it becomes their own empire. It's like their church is their own empire. So humans very easily fall into this secularism. So for non-believers, it's needless to say, but even for Christians, even as they do the ministry of the Lord, they are concerned about secular things, material things, earthly things, and church revival. They didn't think about the next generation, whether they have the kind of life to continue the gospel ministry. They didn't think about that. So that is secularism that we need to beware of. So maybe they are doing the work of God. Maybe they talk about the resurrection of the Lord, but they didn't talk about telling people to love the Lord, but they just ask people to get from God the earthly prosperity. So they move towards secularism. So Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? So we must be careful of secularism. And next, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? So because the disciples were in shock about Jesus' ascension, so they keep looking into the sky. The Lord doesn't want us to look into heaven, but Lord wants us to go and make disciples of all nations. So this is like a form of pietism. They keep waiting for the Lord to come back. They want to be close to God. But where is the Lord? The Lord is in His mission. The Lord is in the family members that he wants to save. So some people, they are very pious. Every day they just go into their room to wait for the Lord, or they go into the mountains to pray. Now some people, they can go up to the mountain, but they never come down. So they keep enjoying that kind of solitude with God. But God is already with them. God wants you to finish His earthly mission for you. So you need to come down from the mountain. So as we have church gathering, it's as if we are on heaven, you know, because it's like we are on the mountain. But after leaving the church, you need to have the wisdom from God to touch people, to do His will. So you cannot just be pious until you didn't do the earthly things that God wants you to do, because you have to practice God's word in your life. You need to live out God's grace, love, and wisdom. Or some people, they are very good in running the church like a business with positive psychology and a lot of things, and they try to grow the numbers in the church. So actually, the church only have these two problems: secularism, pietism. So from the apostles, you will know that we humans, it's very easy for us to fall into these two errors. So I caution myself every time when I read the Word of God. So each of us, we must also caution each other. So may the Lord bless each and every one of us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for using your word today to teach us. So we know clearly that in our days today, the Holy Spirit is with us, the same gospel we have to preach. So that after we know this, we run to you to follow you, to experience the great power of the Holy Spirit. May brothers and sisters, after hearing the word of God, we can put it into practice so that people around us can see the glory of God and credit the glory to you. Lord, we thank you and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.